Look in Luke chapter 10. I have been thinking this week, and I don't know how your weeks. Have you been thankful this week? Have you been trying to thank God for every little thing and everything? In everything, give thanks, the Bible said, always. That's good things and bad things. And boy, the Lord really blessed me this week. Well, I was telling our Sunday school assembly, I was trying to clean carpet and we got a Bissell cleaner and I put out a bunch of water and then all of a sudden I realized I wasn't vacuuming up anything. So I'd soaked about half of the carpet and no way to get it up. And Charles came to the rescue with his shop vac and all that. We've lost power in our living room and in our office and everything, where everything is at. We're going to try to get that straightened out. And we've had a time, but Regina had a doctor's appointment. So we were rushing around and left and get up there and traffic between my house. We cut through the country, there's missed traffic. Everybody else did too. So the side roads were full. I came out Cornwallis to 42, what used to be 42, it's 36 or something now, I forgot what it is. But anyhow, there was at least 1,000 cars, you know. And I said, man, what in the world, where are all these people going? And then what my wife said, she said, that's a blessing, ain't it? And I said, thank the Lord for all these people. Amen. I'm glad when she preaches to me. Amen. But you thank the Lord. God's good to us. But I got to thinking about early in the week about Jesus. He is our example. He's our Savior, our Lord. And what about the thanksgiving of Jesus? There are four occasions in the Bible when it says Jesus gave thanks. I know, and you know, that that's not the only time he was thankful. He is our example. The Bible said, in everything, give thanks. And so I believe he lived a life of thankfulness in his human body. He was God incarnate in human flesh, but yet he had a relationship with the Father. He had a relationship with his disciples, with those around him. He had those who ministered to him. There were a group of ladies who met the necessities, pray. They fed them and helped them and clothed them. They were here and when he was here. I know he was thankful. He's gracious. He had that spirit about him, that gracious spirit and of thanksgiving. But on four occasions, it says specifically that he did pray or they did give thanks. And Luke chapter 10 is the first one I want us to look at this morning. And I, as we begin to read, we'll see what he said about this. I won't take time to read all of it, but I would like to start reading verse number 13. It said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in thee, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. He's talking about these two cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and he's making reference back to Sodom and Gomorrah, when God rained down fire on them. And he says to them, now, one thing, when we went to Israel, one of our first stops or earliest stops was in this area called Chorazin. And it's right in a very, Israel doesn't have any land. They are just built. I was amazed. I don't know what I was looking for. I was looking for little small, you know, huts and things. But man, they have massive buildings and cities and it's amazing what God's done there since 1946 and the agriculture and all that's going on. It's just a blessing. But yet there's a little area right in all of that populated area. I drive up and down in Johnson County, and every time you go by and you'll see here's a little small farm and it's growing houses and right down here, and then you'll see a place that's hardly looks like an acre or two and they're building something on that every little square inch. Well, you can imagine in Israel but there's an area in this area right here, Chorazin, that's just sitting there. It's on a hill. It's a beautiful overlook looking out. It's a beautiful piece of property. It has some ruins there of an old synagogue, but there's nothing else there. And for all these years, it's not been developed or built around. And Brother Ralph said, the only explanation for that is that God cursed it because of their unbelief. But that's not our message this morning. I just mentioned that in passing. Let's go on verse 14. But it should be more tolerable to Tyre and Sidon judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, listen to this, notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He's saying the greatest joy in all the world and the greatest praise and adoration ought to be for the fact that we're saved and our names written in heaven. And thank God for that. Why? They had great victories, but you won't always have great victories. There are times when you have tremendous victories. There are times when you're as happy as you've ever been, got everything in place, but there'll be times of sorrow and weeping. It's times of things you don't understand happen in your life. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you'll always be saved and you ought to always rejoice. And he learned to rejoice in your salvation. And then notice verse 21. Here's our text for this particular passage. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Isn't that an unusual statement? He's thanking God the Father that he has hid the gospel or has hid eternal truths from the wise and prudent, but he revealed them unto babes. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit of God would help me this morning to be a blessing to your people. And I, Father, I understand that the natural man receives not the things of God. But Lord, I pray that in the Holy Ghost of God, you've called me. Lord, inside of me lives the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, that you'd speak to me and through me as I share with your people. Lord, I need you this morning to breathe, give your anointing, bless people here in the building and in the internet audience. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that the folk in the media audience were blessed this morning by the wonderful singing. I was of the choir and the congregation. And Brother LaVon, boy, had a touch of God on him this morning, didn't he? What a wonderful song. I send greetings this morning to all of our folk in the internet audience, the radio audience. We're glad you're listening. I've met some folks through the week who've been watching us online and then some who've been listening to us on the radio. We're glad that we're live on the Benson Station. We will be every Sunday throughout the, from now until Jesus comes, the Lord provides. So if you have friends who don't do internet, if they want to listen to us live every Sunday, they can do that. I send special greetings to my neighbors, to Brother Howard and Barbara Stewart. They listen to us and listen online, and I send them greetings, and I thank the Lord for that. Here's our first time that's recorded that Jesus gave thanks. And he's given thanks in an unusual situation. As I begin to read it and I think about it, there is gathered around him, as it was in all of his ministry, many critics. He had the scribes, the Pharisees, all the rest of them, of the religious crowd were there, the Judaizers, they were all there. And they were always continually trying to trap him and to get something to accuse him of. And because of how he was ministering and people flocking to him, he said he was God's son, he was the Messiah, and they wouldn't have any of it. And they were the intellects, spiritual intellects of that day, and they knew better. And God here, he's talking about the salvation of those disciples that he had sent out to be witnesses. And he said, I want to thank God that he's hid those truths. What truths are that? It's the eternal truth of the gospel. And it's the truth that he loved us and he's going to die for us and pay the sin debt. And it's not by the law. It's not by doing good, not by works of righteousness, but it's through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And he said, I'm thankful that you've hid that from the wise and from the prudent. And I wonder why, you know, why he Brad quoted this morning, he would have all men to be saved. Why is it that he'd say that? I think God may have spoken to my heart. I hope he did, and I want to share it with you this morning. He has hidden this truth from the wise and prudent, but he has revealed it unto those with childlike faith. That's what he said, unto babes. He's here thanking God for the truth of revelation. Salvation is not an education. You cannot train people to be Christians. You can preach the gospel. He told Timothy, go and preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering. He said, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't mean it bypasses our mind, but he did say this, the natural man receives not the things of God. These were men who knew the Bible. They had many of them who were the priests and Levites had memorized the first five books of the Bible. I know some of it, but they could quote for you the first five books of the Bible. Nicodemus was part of that crowd, and he came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said to him, he said to Jesus, good master, we know that thou art come from God, so on. And then Jesus says unto him, you must be born again. You have to be born again. It's not by intellect, it's not by earthly knowledge, it's not by wisdom. It is a revelation. It is the Holy Spirit of God who reveals the truth of the gospel. And therefore, from the youngest to the oldest, to the most educated to the least educated, the Holy Spirit of God can reveal the truth of the gospel to you, and he'll make it known through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Basically, what he was saying was, Lord, I'm thankful that these men did not comprehend intellectually the truth of the gospel. Because if they just had it in their head and not in their heart, it would become an item of debate. It would cause division. They would say, I believe this, you believe that, I have reasoned it out, this is what I think it says, this is what I think it said, and you'd have all kind of splits and splinters. And he said, I'm thankful that God, you didn't show it to them because they'd only see it in their head, right, not in their heart. That's what he's saying. He's saying, God, they must come under conviction. He said in one place, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them right now. In another place, he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, what's he saying? He's saying there must be a preparation of the heart. For you to be saved and know Christ, God has to reveal some things to you. You have revealed it. In the first place, these men thought they were all right with God because they'd memorized the scriptures, because they tried to keep the scriptural laws, plus they'd added thousands of other things, like, you know, you're not supposed to eat an egg laid on the Sabbath. You know, that chicken had to labor to lay that egg, and you don't want to eat that egg because it laid on the Sabbath day. If you were a seamstress or a tailor, if you forgot and you put your needle in your lapel somewhere and you were walking around with it on Sabbath day, you had broken the law because you were carrying a burden, all kind of things. That's why he said you strained at a gnat and you swallow a camel. They were spiritual intellectuals. But in order to be saved, you have to come to the place when you recognize that you're lost and on your way to hell and that you cannot save yourself. And these men were not there. The ground had not been broken. The heart had not been broken. They were not humbled to receive the word of God. They were arrogant and proud. But the humble, the broken, the needy, God revealed it to them. Because they wanted it, because their heart was prepared, God had done a work. You know, there are a lot of people who have intellectually believed the Bible. They find it just a very interesting book to study and then to even go into doctrinal type things and you know, all those type of things. But my dear friend, it's the heart that has to be broken. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is thanking the Father for revelation. That any person who has no religious background, any person, no matter who they are, what nationality they are, how rich or poor they are, anybody, whosoever will may come, and that the Holy Spirit of God can show them what the great intellects cannot see. Show them that Jesus loved them and died for them. And they come with this idea, I have nothing, but He has everything. God, forgive me of all of my sin. And they humbly bow and receive Jesus Christ as Savior of the Lord. And Jesus is thanking the Lord, thanking the Father for revelation. I'm sure glad that God revealed the gospel to me. How many of you in here are saved and you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Can I tell you what happened to you? There was a time God may have used your mama, your daddy, a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school, a preacher track, or television or radio program. But God Himself spoke to your heart. He revealed to you, He revealed to you the truth of the gospel, that all have sinned and you're a sinner, and the wage of sin is death. But He also showed you the Savior who loved you and died for you. And He showed you that if you would believe, that you could be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, it's a gift of God. He even gave you enough faith to believe. You're a personal work of the Holy Ghost. You're the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus is looking at this crowd, and here's a farmer, here's a shepherd, here's a woman who used to be a harlot, and they understand it. Their hearts are cleansed. They know Him as Savior. And He said, Father, thank You that You've hid it from the spiritual elite, the wise who think they can get it in their own mind. But these who've humbled themselves and believed, they've been born again by the grace of God. They'll live forever. Their sins will all be covered when I die on the cross. Thank God for that. And He's thanking the Lord for that, thanking the Father for that. Turn over quickly, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew, back to the book of Matthew. In Matthew, I'm going to do it for the sake of time. I'm going to read this one, but I'll make reference to something else. In Matthew chapter 15, if you will, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. You do know that there are two occasions when the Lord feeds great numbers of people. On the first occasion, He fed 5,000. He was teaching, and they needed food, and He asked the disciple, how are we going to feed them? And the Bible makes this little statement. He knew what He was going to do. And they said, how can we feed such a great number with all of this? But here's what happens. He feeds the 5,000. And then a little bit later, He'll feed 4,000. When He feeds the 5,000, there are 12 baskets left. When He feeds the 4,000, there are 7 baskets left. I don't understand all the numbers and why. I think there's something to it. But I do know that there is one connecting point to both occasions, and it's recorded in the Gospels in several places. But for the sake of time, I'm going to just read the one here. Notice what it said in verse number 33 of chapter 15 of the book of Matthew. And His disciples said unto Him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed this great multitude? The disciples said, Lord, how would we go about feeding them? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few fishes, little fishes. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and He gave thanks, and He broke them and gave to disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat thereof, was left 7 baskets full. Now when He does the 5,000, same scenario, but there's 12 baskets left. But here's the key thing, the connecting point is this. In both occasions, He gave thanks. Here's the second occasion when our Lord gives thanks in the Bible. He has said in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. He said, I know you got to have houses. I know you got to have land. I know you got to have food. But if you'll follow Me, and if you'll love Me, and if you'll seek the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added unto you. Now, what He's taught them, He's going to show them. They're in a wilderness area. They've been there for several days. They are hungry. It's too far to go back home. They don't have anything but these few little fishes and the bread. He's going to show them His marvelous grace. And the Bible said He gave thanks, and then broke the bread, gave it to the disciples. They fed that time, and He feeds 4,000 there. And they had so much left over, overrun, more than they need. And he's showing them the principle. You sought the kingdom of God. You came to sit by me. Now I'm able to demonstrate to you what I can do. Thank God for that. Here he is praising Father for his promises and provision. God's promise to take care of them. God's promise to meet their needs. And he's thanking the Lord for that. Thanking God the Father for that. The focus is on him. The focus is on the kingdom and not on the bread. But that's a side product. He gives them what they need. God blesses them for what they need because they have sought first the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And you can testify to that. Those of you who've been saved for any length of time, we got people in here who well up in age, and they would tell you today, seek first the kingdom of God and he'll add all these things to you. I'm thankful for it. But now watch, God's mercy and grace. He gave them to all they could eat and then much left over. And God always blesses us that way. Thank God for his provision. Thank God for his promise. If you'll put him first, if you'll honor him, he'll meet every need you've got and you'll be blessed. But let's hasten on this morning. Go back to the Gospel of John, if you would, please. And let's go to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. And in John chapter number 11, we find a wonderful passage of scripture way down near the end of it. When you come to this place, God has a plan. I'm sorry, I got to turn one more, got to go over a little bit further myself. In John chapter 11, look with me, please, at verse 41. He is standing at the tomb of his good friend. He's been dead for 4 days. He's told them, I am the resurrection and the life. And they have said, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. He tells them to roll the stone away, and they say to him, he's been dead 4 days. By now, he stinketh. But Jesus prays a prayer. Look with me at verse 41. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said this, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He stood by the tomb of his friend and he gave thanks. And then he called him out. Lazarus, come forth. The Bible said he came out bound in linen. He's thanking God. It doesn't tell us specifically what he's thinking about, but I think there's two things I know we can say he's thinking. He's thanking God the Father for hearing and answering prayer. You and I ought to be like him. We ought to thank God for the ministry of prayer. I used to have an old friend. I don't think I've quoted this in a long time around here, but he used to say, he said, lift me up when you hook up to that heaven of power. That's prayer. My dear friend, Jesus is thanking the Father that he always heard his prayer. God gave us a wonderful avenue through the access of the rent veil of the Lord Jesus Christ to come boldly through the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We must be thankful for the fact that we can go to him in prayer. You don't have to go through a secretary. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to get a reserved time. Anytime, anywhere, any place, you have access to the Father. And Jesus is thanking the Father that I know that you hear me. Oh, you ought to just thank God for that. Last night while I was reading through this, and then when I came over to pray, I knelt down and I'd been reading this. And I said, Lord, I know you're hearing me. And what a blessing. Nobody out there, didn't have my cell phone, didn't have nothing else, no wires, wireless. And I knew in my heart that God was hearing me. I had a direct access to him. It's not me, but it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for prayer. Oh, Jesus was thanking God the Father for the prayer, opportunity to pray, that he always heard him. I think also he's thanking him for resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Does it trouble you? Does it bother you? And I know it does. when your loved one has a cancer or other diseases and you watch their bodies deteriorate and finally they are delivered and get to go home be with the Lord. And I know that you have in your heart the truth that they're better off there in heaven. But there's always that little bit of a haunting memory of what they suffered in their body and what they had to endure. And my dear friend, when you think about the resurrection, they're going to have a brand new body like in His glorious body. We were blessed to have 5 children. Our oldest daughter, Christy, died just before she was 3 years old. But there's a point when her cancer treatment was taking place that they had shaved part of her head and they had a little like IVs or probes in a skull and in a little body. And with leukemia, she's had bruises, a lot of bruises and those type of thing. And I'm thinking that the last time we saw her in Duke University Hospital, that's kind of what she looked like. But it won't be that way the next time we see her. Oh, hallelujah. He's thanking God, not just for Lazarus coming out of that grave, but He's thanking God for everyone He died for. The Bible said He endured the cross, despised the shame. But in that same passage of Scripture, it says that He saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied, fulfilled. He looked down through time and He saw the results of what He was doing with salvation and resurrection. He's thanking God in His prayer for revelation, for the revealing of the gospel. He's thanking God for His provision, for His promises. He's thanking God for prayers answered, and He's thanking God for resurrection. One last one real quick. Go over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and this is the last one, and you probably already know what it is. Matthew chapter 26, and look at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and He blessed it. He gave thanks for it. And He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is My body." And He took the cup and He gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink ye all of it. This is My blood, for this is My blood, the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Here's this occasion when He thanks the Lord for salvation. Thanks the Lord that He's the substitute. Thanking God the Father that for the reason He came to give His life a ransom and that that ransom would be paid in full and your salvation would be free and full and forever. He's thanking God that He made an eternal plan to save every man, woman, boy, and girl who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, you think about it. He's thanking Him for, I think, His ability to come, or that God allowed, God the Father sent Him. God gave Him a body. All the things that He saw, the teaching, the healing, all those things. But at this particular point, I think He's thanking God the Father that I'm going to be able to give my life a ransom. And what I do will purchase for eternity those who will believe on Me for salvation. Oh, He's thanking God for that. You know what? I'm part of that plan. You're part of that plan. And you know what He was doing? On the night before He was crucified, He was thanking God and thinking about you and calling your name, that what He was about to go through, the scourging, the beating, the piercing of His side, nails in His hands, nails in His feet, the crown of thorns on His brow, His death, burial, and resurrection would be so you could have eternal life. And the Bible said He looked down through time and He saw the travail of His soul. That's a picture of a woman giving birth, going through the birth process and the birth. And when the baby's born, there's joy. He looked down through time and He saw you trusting Christ. And at that moment, He was thanking God that He was going to be able to give His life a ransom. But He was thanking God that you were going to trust Him as Savior and that He'd get to be with you and you'd get to be with Him and behold His glory for all eternity. Thank God. Amen. Thank God for revelation. Thank God it revealed truth to us. Thank God for His promises and provision. Thank God for the resurrection. And thank God for salvation provided in our Lord that is eternal. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Oh, listen. You say, "I don't have anything to be thankful for." If you're saved, you better thank Him for revelation. Because if he had not revealed it to you, you wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't know it. He caused you to believe and to know and to receive Him as Savior and Lord. Oh, thank God for His provision. He's promised if we seek the kingdom of God, at first He'd add all these things to it. Can I tell you, God's been so good to me. God has been so good to me and Regina through all these years. Long time ago, in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, I was working in a cotton mill. I don't know where I'd have been or what I'd done. But God called me into the ministry. I wish I could tell you in these many years now what He's done, how He's provided. There's been times we didn't have much of anything, but yet we had everything we needed. That's just the way it always worked. God's been so good. I don't know about you. I graduated somewhere about midway of my high school senior class. I could have done anything I think pretty much I wanted to do, but I'm not a great intellect. But I didn't get saved because of what I knew or my intellect. The Holy Ghost of God convicted me. He revealed it to me. He showed it to me. And I'm thankful. It was a personal act of a holy God. And that's the same way with every one of you. He spoke to your heart. He dealt with you. Thank God for that. Jesus thanked the Lord for revelation, for revealing the gospel truth to babes. I am so thankful I'm one of them. I'm thankful for His provision. He's been so good to us. Thank Him for resurrection. Oh, He knew Lazarus would come forth later, but He resurrected them just for that interim time to be with His family. But He made a promise that all those who trust Him, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, you'll have eternal life and a brand new body, like in His glorious body one day. And thank God for salvation, for His broken body and His shed blood. He's thanking God the Father that it would be sufficient and efficient for all who would believe. He's thanking God the Father for those individuals. I believe He knew all of our names who would trust Him. He was thanking the Lord. Knew that we'd be in heaven with Him for all eternity. He'd rescue us out of a wicked world, out of a wicked life, out of a ruined, wasted life, to a life to honor Him. I'm thankful. This morning, God, the Holy Ghost may have spoke to your heart. He may be revealing to you right now that you have religion, but you don't have Christ. You need to have a relationship with Him. And I tell you right now, on authority of the Word of God, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the media audience and in this building, right now, you don't have to wait, but if you'll ask Him right now to come in your heart, forgive you of your sin, He'll save you right now. I beg you in Jesus' name to do that. For those of us who are saved, we got so many things to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. There's a line in a song like that. But you ought to thank God for Him revealing truth to you, for all His provision, because you're seeking the kingdom of God first, for the fact that there's a resurrection coming and that He paid that price for you. Worship Him and be thankful. Oh, I love that song, Brother Levon, you sang. That was a blessing. Let's stand together, please. I invite you right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in the media audience anywhere, would you call on Him? You say, I don't know anything about the Bible. You don't need to know anything about the Bible other than the truth that the Holy Ghost of God reveals to you. The truth He wants you to understand right now is that you're lost, that Jesus paid all of your sin debt, and that His promise is this: if you'll receive Him, call on Him by faith right now, by faith, believe, call on Him, and say something like this, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. And God, I don't know anything about all of this, but I do know what you said, that if I'd call on you, you'd save me. And Lord, I'm calling right now as best I know how. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. Come in my heart and save me right now. Make me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus." My dear friend, I believe if you'll do that sincerely from your heart, Holy Ghost of God will give witness and you'll know that you're saved. For those of us who are saved, let's rejoice and be thankful in everything, but especially the things that our Lord was thankful for. Let's be thankful for those.